We present the KOME Phyllis Isley Radio Theater. The Radio Theater welcomes you to another live and entrancing drama. We invite you to spend the pleasant half hour with the players as they bring you The Fatal Empress. It is a scarlet and gold chapter from the pages of Russian history and was written by Gladys Wagstaff Penny. As the play unfolds, we realize the inter-intrigue, the glamour, the hatreds and triumphs which made the reign of the Empress Catherine so intensely dramatic. Ruthlessly, imperiously she ruled, making the most powerful of her court mere puppets, motivated by her command, all save one, Prince Orloff, her favorite. Orloff it was who failed to appear before her one winter night, thus giving Elaine Bernstorff, Catherine's lady-in-waiting, who was at Catherine's side, reason to remember why those nearest the confidence of Catherine whispered at mention of her name, the fatal empress. For our scene, we turn to the chapter which relates Elaine's story, the night in question, midnight, in the palace, and the restless empress is tormented and unable to sleep because of Orloff's refusal to come to her. She is pacing the heavily velveted carpet as little Elaine sits watching from a corner.
Why doesn't he come? How dare he remain away?
Perhaps, madame.
It isn't enough that he's gone for weeks attending the peace conference, fighting in the Turco-Russian war. Now, upon his return, he must absent himself from the palace. Petyomkin, Bestuyev, none of them knows where he is. A splendid staff I have, I must admit. A captain of my army absents himself, and no one knows where he has gone. And you, Helene, 100 times you've watched Orloff for me, and yet you say now you know nothing about him.
Nothing, madame, nothing.
So for the first time, perhaps I should think less of it. I might believe that he is with the soldiers in the barracks or drinking in one of the taverns. But I've sent guards everywhere and they cannot find him. You won't be able to give me that excuse this time. My darling, a man must have a little time to himself. That's what he'll say to me when he returns in the morning. And he'll probably add, a man must have relaxation, laughter, Catherine. Surely you would not want me to make a swine of myself in your palace, as I am permitted to do in the tavern. Saying excuses over and over, though I know them by heart. Elaine. Elaine, something in your face.
Something in my face, madame?
Yes. Yes, I've been watching you ever since you came in. Ever since I started to talk to you of Orloff. Come here. Are you sure, Helene, that you know nothing of him tonight?
Well, of course, madame. I have not seen him since morning when I saw him in the courtyard talking to my father.
And yet you do not look me in the eyes when you say you have not seen him since morning, Helene.
But, madame...
You do know where he is. You knew when you came to this room. You're shielding him. Refusing to tell me where he is. You aren't by any chance... Wait a minute.
No, madame. I swear Prince Orloff means nothing to me. It is Prince Alexander I love deeply. You know that, madame.
Yet you are keeping something from me, Helene.
No, madame.
You are keeping something from me.
Madame.
Now, I command you to speak. Where is he? Where is Orloff?
Don't blame me, madame.
Oh, stop sniveling and tell me where he is.
He is with her, madame, the Greek woman.
The Greek woman? God in him.
The woman he brought back with him when he went to Turkey, madame. He keeps her hidden among the soldiers at the barracks. And when he is away from the palace, he goes to her.
I see. And what did he offer you to keep this knowledge from me?
Nothing for myself, I swear it. May the Holy Mother burn my throat if I lie, madame.
Then for your father?
No, no.
For Prince Alexander, then, perhaps. Good. What did Orloff promise to do for him?
He said if I could keep from you the information about the woman, he would make Prince Alexander Samarin ambassador to France. Oh, madame, I have always longed to visit the royal palace in Paris. It would have meant true such great hopes for Alexander. I did not willfully defy you, madame. When you commanded me to speak, I did. I remained silent only until you commanded me to speak.
So he keeps her hidden, the Greek woman with the soldiers at the barracks.
They say she dresses as one of them, madame, to avoid detection. Prince Orloff's guards keep near her, of course, to protect her. But they say she is costumed in uniform.
I see. He would flaunt her in my face. Dare to bring her to St. Petersburg. We shall see. We shall see what can be done about you, Orloff, and your peasant woman in soldier's clothes.
What are you going to do, madame?
I have sent for Captain Potemkin. Possibly he can be trusted to carry out my plans.
I'll answer, madame. Captain Potemkin, your majesty.
You rang for me, Catherine?
Yes. Close the door, Helene. Yes, Captain. I have just learned that Orloff has brought a Greek woman to St. Petersburg. You knew?
I have heard.
It seems she is quartered in the barracks. Most likely in Orloff's suite of rooms above the stables. The one he occupies when he is not at the palace. Very well. You shall send a man there, Captain. You will find the woman dressed in uniform. On some pretext or another, he must start a quarrel with her. There will be an accident. Merely one of the differences which spring up between soldiers sometimes. Possibly your guard may have been drinking a little. That would give as good a reason as any. You understand me thoroughly, Captain Potemkin?
I understand you, Catherine. There will be an accident.
Good. I shall wait here for word from you. And you, Helene?
Yes, madame.
When the Greek woman has been disposed of, we shall discuss what shall be done about you.
This hour from Captain Potemkin, Marcia, when we may throw you out bodily.
I come in search of Prince Orloff.
Oh, he comes in search of Prince Orloff. Did he? Have a drink, Marcia. It'll do you better than opening that door and disturbing Orloff, I warn you.
He is in there?
He is.
Then I must go in. I've had my orders.
Don't be a fool, Marcia. We have heard. You come seeking the Greek woman, but she's gone. Prince Orloff learned only a few moments ago that Captain Potemkin was sending you here to the barracks to make trouble for, and Orloff got her out of here. A guard is conducting her safely to the village south of here. Now, don't be a fool. Orloff will kill you if you so much as open that door.
How did Orloff hear I was coming here?
Captain Potemkin and Prince Orlov are the two most powerful men in Russia, Marcia. Isn't it reasonable that both of them should watch each other like a Siberian wolf watches a bear cub? It was whispered that the chief of police, Kapolsha, sent word to Orlov.
Just the same, I've been ordered to search for the woman. I must enter the apartment. Besides, how do I know you're telling me the truth about her? Prince Orlov.
Well, I thought I heard you asking for me, Marcia. Well, something you wanted to ask me, some message?
I...
Yeah, we told him you were sleeping, Prince Orlov. And if he wakened you, he'd probably receive a club for his trouble. Tell him what message the Empress sends, Marcia.
The Empress asks that you report to the palace, Captain Orlov.
Oh, very well. I shall go at once. I was just leaving. My quarters at the palace are much more comfortable.
You fool, Marcia, you fool. If you had mentioned that Greek woman to him, now you can see that she's gone. And now I wonder, will Her Majesty forgive him once again?
But I tell you, Catherine, the woman meant nothing to me. Out of pity. Her father was involved in some trouble and her life was threatened. Oh, surely you would not once said at me that Orlov failed to aid a woman.
I hardly think it will ever be said of you that you could fail to assist a woman, especially if she were pretty, Orlov. Tell me, was she beautiful?
Oh, not nearly so beautiful as you, Catherine. Or so clever. Oh, believe me when I tell you that she meant nothing to me. Kiss me, Catherine.
Oh, Orlov. One day you will be unfaithful to me and I shall not forgive you. One day you will build too high the barrier of suspicion, doubt, abject unhappiness which your actions make between us. And it will shut out forever the sun of our love. Can I believe you when you say that the woman is at this moment on her way home, that she will never come back to St. Petersburg?
You can believe me, Catherine.
Then I shall. But if you are lying, Orlov, if ever I hear again that the Greek woman is in this city, I shall have her killed, war or no war.
Oh, how lovely you are when you're angry, my darling. And now about Helene. Does she go unpunished for betraying my secret, my darling?
You should have no secrets from me. Helene has been badly frightened by this affair. I think this time I shall do nothing more. Besides, tomorrow night at the Imperial Ball, her father, Captain Bernsdorf, is to announce her engagement to Prince Alexander. Oh, she's so much in love with him. She fell in with your plans, Orlov, because she cares so for Alexander. And I find it in my heart at the moment to pity any woman in love.
Come in.
You sent for me, Prince Orlov?
Oh, yes. Come in, Krupusha, and close the door.
Hope there's been no trouble.
Plenty of trouble since you sent word to me that Patyomkin was sending Masha to involve the Greek woman in a quarrel. If I got her away all right, well, she'll remain hidden until the trouble is forgotten.
Excellent.
I've been up all night convincing Her Majesty that I am faithful. But I need your help in a plan I have for proving to Elaine that to betray me is something with which to reckon. I'm attacking her through Prince Alexander, Krapusha. By tonight, and the discovery must be made while the Imperial Ball is going on, you are to find anti-Russian plans in Alexander's handwriting in Captain Patyomkin's rooms.
What? That is asking a great deal, Prince Orlov.
I know you fear his strength, his power over the Empress. Perhaps I, too, dislike to influence the exercises with Catherine. With Patyomkin out of the way and Alexander banished for treason, Helene would suffer also. And the trio whom I hate most would be well out of my way.
The damning documents in Alexander's handwriting can be arranged. Yes, they can be placed in the desk of Captain Patyomkin's bedroom to be found there when you apprise the Empress of his treason and Prince Alexander's. But don't think for a moment, Prince Orlov, that Potemkin will allow himself to be thrown into the dread prison fortress at Schlüsselburg without an attempt to strike back.
Once I have accomplished his downfall, and the exile or death of Alexander, I shan't worry about any attempt to strike back at me. There will be others whom I shall have made certain that Potemkin and Alexander do not return to St. Petersburg.
We can talk here, Elaine. We're far enough away not to be overheard. And yet close enough should Her Majesty call you.
Well, Alexander, Captain Patyomkin sent me a message this morning. Wait, I have it here. I fastened it to my girdle for fear I might lose it.
You seem so distraught, Elaine. I've noticed it all evening.
Oh, read the message. You'll understand, Alexander.
This is a warning. Be prepared tonight during the ball. Signed to Captain Patyomkin. But what does it mean, Elaine? Be prepared tonight during the ball? Be prepared for what?
Oh, I don't know. I only fear that for some reason the Empress may reconsider being so lenient with me, Alexander, and that Patyomkin, fearing this too, has tried to warn me.
But surely Her Majesty would do nothing at this late hour to prevent the announcement of our coming marriage, Elaine. And yet, today I tried several times to discuss sending a sortie to Mamadish with Captain Orlov, and each time he sent word that he was too engaged to see me. I wonder if something is up in that quarter. I have heard twice today also that Krapusha has been secreted with him in his rooms and store. I have never trusted Krapusha. Never.
Nor I. Shh, a guard.
Captain Alexander.
Yes?
Report to Her Majesty immediately. Those who are meeting out the guards.
Thank you.
Something has happened, Alexander. I feel it. All evening, ever since Prince Orlov came into the ballroom with Her Majesty, I have felt the sinister promise of some impending disaster.
Perhaps you are just too apprehensive upon the eve of our marriage, my dearest. It can't be anything serious, or I would have been taken to Her Majesty under guard. Wait here, I'll be back.
No, I'm going with you, Alexander. It's something serious enough to take Her Majesty from the ballroom. Oh, Alexander, if anything happens to spoil our plans, one never knows living in the palace just what will happen next.
Give me your arm down these stairs, Elaine.
Oh, it's like living atop an inferno. If one dares to even listen to a confidence, it may mean trouble before the hour has passed.
We'll soon know what the Empress wants with me. Let me open the door.
Wait. Alexander, the message from Captain Patyomkin has filled me with fear. For us both.
Give me your hands. You're trembling, little Elaine. Let me hold you close for a moment. There. Now, until we know the meaning of the Captain's note, let's not court trouble, my dearest.
But tonight is our betrothal night, Alexander.
We shall yet celebrate the occasion. Let's go in now.
Kiss me just once.
Little Elaine.
I'm ready, Alexander. I need no further proof than seeing the documents with my own eyes, Orloff, to know that Alexander wrote them. But I insist upon giving him a chance to defend himself before I exile him.
There he is, Catherine.
Come here, Alexander. And while I did not send for you, Elaine, it is as well you are here. It is just as well, too, that you hear of your fiancé's treachery to his empress.
Treachery?
I don't understand, Your Majesty.
Give me those documents, Orloff. No. Tell me, Alexander, is that handwriting yours?
It looks like mine, Your Majesty.
Then you admit the authorship of these plans for treason.
I admit nothing treasonable. Let me see the papers.
You have said the handwriting is yours. The documents, as you well know, are plans for the overthrow of my throne.
No, no.
I have written no such documents, Your Majesty.
The papers were found in Captain Petyomkin's desk only a half hour ago.
But I swear to you, I did not write them. It's forgery. Someone has copied my handwriting.
Oh, you must believe him, Your Majesty.
Captain Petyomkin has very little to say.
I have had very little opportunity to say anything, Prince Orlov.
There seems little that you could say, Petyomkin. The papers were found in your desk. Nor is this the first time that an empress has been betrayed by her prime minister. There. There are your antidynastical plans, Captain, in your face.
Yet I have never known Your Majesty to refuse to grant one condemned a hearing, Catherine. And I do ask to be heard. It is only that when the guard came, commanding that I appear before you, I sent Captain Bernsdorf to my aide-de-camp, Chancellor Bestuyo, for certain papers. I can't speak until he comes here with them, but when he does...
Chancellor Bestuyo is to see Captain Petyomkin, Your Majesty.
Come forward, Bestuyo.
Captain! You aren't going to listen to some plot of Petyomkin's to lie himself out of this situation,
are you? I am skilled in handling liars, Orloff. One more won't make any difference. You have papers for Captain Petyomkin, Chancellor Bestuyov?
I have, Your Majesty.
Then give them to me.
Obey Her Majesty, Bestuyov.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Papers. Documents. I could wish at moments that the entire Russian Empire might burn to high heaven on a funeral pyre made of them. Now we have a letter. Oh, yes. A letter. A very interesting letter, Orloff.
May I read it?
I'll read it to you. It is from the Sultan of Turkey, Ahmed Dur Abdallah, to Captain Petyomkin.
Before you read the letter aloud, Catherine, I should like to speak.
Very well, Petyomkin.
You will see that the letter is authentic.
It bears the royal seal of the Sultan, yes.
Believe me, Catherine, I would never have shown it to you. Never have shaken your faith in Prince Orlov, had he not through this treachery forced me to do so.
Catherine, I demand to see that letter.
You demand? I am the only person who may demand anything, Orlov. Go on, Captain.
Those documents, purported to have been written by Alexander, are forgeries. I had never seen them before the moment you placed them in front of my eyes when I came into this room. You have no personal interest in me, Catherine, save as a subject. A man in whom to entrust your confidences, your plans.
I had thought that, Petyomkin.
It is as true now as ever, Catherine. And because I have never been otherwise, there has been no reason for jealousies, suspicion, and things that pertain to the heart.
No, Petyomkin.
Catherine, I...
Her Majesty is speaking to Captain Petyomkin, Prince Olaf.
And so there has never been a need of avenging personal betrayals, Your Majesty. Such as this plan to avenge Alexander and Helene and me, all with the treacherous hiding of those documents in my rooms. Alexander's handwriting is easily duplicated, Catherine. What of Klopusha, Captain Orlov's closest friend? I wager were we to place the chief of police in the dungeon, inflict upon him some of his own cleverly devised punishments for obtaining confessions, we might learn more of the handwriting on those documents.
You would have no objection, Orloff, to such a procedure?
Catherine, what's happened? Why are you turning on me in this manner? A moment ago, you believed that Prince Alexander and Captain Petyomkin have been plotting to overthrow you. Now
I have proof that you did lie to me, Orloff.
About the documents?
If you would lie about one thing, you would lie about another. This letter. In it, Sultan Abdullah has written that the Turco-Russian war was prolonged, the peace conference postponed, because you ran away with the Greek woman, took her from Turkey, and she was the Sultan's favorite.
For myself, Catherine, I ask only that you believe again that I am humbly your servant. But Prince Alexander and Helene, this is their betrothal night, so I crave your indulgence. Ask that you allow them to rejoin those in the ballroom, that the ball go on, and the announcement of their engagement be made tonight.
Very well, Petyumkin. I'm very tired. You will forgive me, Helene, if I am not present when the announcement is made. I give you my blessing now.
Your Majesty.
As for you, Orloff, you will be placed under guard at your remote estates at Astrakhan. The 2nd Cavalry of Cossacks will accompany you there.
Catherine, you must listen to me. Catherine, my dear.
Not again, Orloff. Don't lie to me again. Take him away, Vestuyev. Listen, Alexander. The waltz.
Your favorite dance, Your Majesty.
If you weren't so tired, Catherine.
Go with Helene and Alexander Petyumkin. The dance is for those who have laughter in their hearts, love in their eyes. And you, Alexander, be faithful to her. Always.
Yes, Your Majesty. Come, Helene.
Because when love goes, everything else seems very empty. Very, very empty.
The closing curtain breaks the spell cast by today's presentation of the KOME full-size radio theater, The Fatal Empress. This gripping drama was written by Gladys Wagstaff Penny, who took it from the worn pages of Russian history. The cast in today's play was as follows. Catherine, Phyllis Isley. Prince Orloff, Robert Walker. Elaine, played by Mary Bell Blair. Patyumkin, by Ben Henneke. Marcia, Guy Hall. Soldier, Arthur Phillips. Klapusha, Roy McKee. Bastuyev, J.A. Crum, Alexander, Bill Conine. Another in the series of productions by the KOME Phyllis Isley Radio Theater Group will be heard at the same time next Sunday. We invite you to join us then at 3:30. For the best in radio entertainment, keep your dial tuned to 1310. KOME covers Oklahoma's Magic Empire with studios in the Radio Building, 9th and Boston in Tulsa.